Amen and amen. I rejoice in that great, great message and song. Psalms chapter 51, if you'll open your Bibles there, I would like to say a word of appreciation to your pastor for allowing me to come and preach again. It's always a joy to come to Northside and to fellowship with you folks and to share God's word or just to worship with you. I love your pastor dearly, great man of God, and you're fortunate to have him. As Ephesians 4 says, to them, the church, he gave some gifts. Pastor and teacher was one of the gifts, and Jerry Spear is indeed a true pastor and is true teacher of God's word. I just appreciate him so much. And I hear that you folks are about to have a revival. Is that correct? Yeah. Revivals are missing in our society today. Nobody wants to have extended periods of time of meeting together. But if you believe that a revival is having a guest preacher to come in with guest musicians and preaching four or five times and having one or two people walk down the aisle, then I submit to you today that you can have revival services without having a revival. We need not revival services. What we need is a genuine revival. The psalmist prayed in 85:7, Lord, will you not revive your people again that they may rejoice in you? When he said those words, he recognized that the people were spiritually impotent. He knew that the fires of their devotion were burning low. He knew their joy was gone. And so he cried out, Lord, will you not revive your people again that they may rejoice in you? Revival, in my opinion, is when Holy Ghost falls upon a sinner who is a Christian and who is removed from that of an intimate walk with Jesus. When Holy Spirit falls upon that person with conviction of sin and they humble themselves before the mighty hand of God and they get up and begin to walk in one step with God and Jesus, I submit to you, that person probably has had revival. Our churches today need revival. What is revival? Revival is a renewal of your first love of Jesus. Revival is that of you and God walking together, not as two, but as one. Revival, and in my book, would be that of not only the first love, but it would be coming back to life again. That's what vive means. Revive is re-life. Revival is an extraordinary movement of God that's going to produce extraordinary results. Revival is Jesus from center to circumference. Revival is indeed an awakening. Because asleep, the church is asleep. And we need to be awakened from that sleep. Revival is also that of being in the presence of Jesus Christ. And in 1 month, if you can get in the presence of Jesus for at least 10 seconds, it will do far more than all human efforts can do to bring you to that revival state. I love the way somebody defined revival. They said, revival is as the sunshine. It sheds light and eliminates the darkness. Revival is as the hammer. It breaks the chains and sets the captives free. It is as the earth. It is created and upheld by unseen powers. It is as a charge in the battle. The true and the brave go to the front lines. The cowards flee to the rear. Revival even can be described as that of a forest fire. Once it gets underway, it spreads rapidly and it burns all of the dead material in its path. There have been calls throughout history for revivals. Elijah the prophet called for God's fire to be outpoured on Mount Carmel. We see that Habakkuk the prophet prayed that God would revive the work of his hands. We hear David and others pleading for revival until it comes to Jesus. And Jesus called for revival of life and spirit when Judaism was as dead as the bones that Ezekiel saw in the valley. Martin Luther called for Reformation in the 16th century Germany church. John Wesley called for revival in the 17th century Anglican church. Old-time Baptist preachers called for revival, and they proclaimed the power of repentance as John the Baptist, him very self. But I submit there's one more on this list that I need to include today, and that is your pastor, Jerry Spear. Jerry is calling this church to revival. He knows the church needs revival, and you know the church needs revival. We see the reality throughout the land of America that churches today are floundering, that churches today are decreasing, that churches today are baptizing fewer and fewer people. We're seeing a dynamic shift in our social religious world today. We need not anything that I can do, not anything that you can do, other than to put ourselves in a position where we plead for God's Spirit to fall upon us and upon this church. Therefore, as we trace these calls of revival throughout history, we see that at any age, it is appropriate for God's people to call upon God and ask, revive us again, that we may rejoice in you. I think now is the time for revival. If I could borrow a phrase I used last time I was here, now it's the day, it's time, right now. It's time that the sleeping folks wake up. It's time for the disgruntled folks to cheer up. It's time for the gossipers to shut up. It's time for the dishonest to confess up. It's time for the crooked to make up. It's time for the offended to make up. It's time for the crooked to straighten up. It's time for the lukewarm folks to fire up. It's time for the discouraged folks to cheer up. It's time for the depressed folks to look up. It's time for the God robbers to pay up. And finally, it's time for the soldiers to stand up. We need to stand up. Now is the day of opportunity. Now is the need of the hour for revival. The lack of revival over the years has become a major problem in the churches, but the churches have given minor consideration to it. We need to allow God to revive us again so that the need of revival can only be a small consideration. And we will be living in the presence of our Lord. I want us to look at David today. David was a man the Bible describes, a man after his own heart. I wonder why in the world, if David was a man after God's own heart, why in the world did he fall back into sin? A man after God's own heart committed adultery. A man after God's own heart committed murder. Why in the world did he do that? So many in our church today, professing Christians, and they may be genuinely born again, but yet they are in a wilderness, wandering without the power of God upon their life, without any assurance of their salvation, and they are wandering in that desert without the fullness of Holy Ghost. We need a revival. We need a revival in each individual member's life. David needed it. Look at Psalm 51, verse 10. David said, "Would you not renew a right spirit within me?" And then he said in verse 12, "Will you not restore unto me the joy of your salvation?" David got into this sinful position of his life maybe because he had lost his spiritual roots. What am I talking about? Well, there's some formation things that we need to have in our life to grow spiritually. There are some disciplines we need to have in our life to grow up in Jesus. David had lost his spiritual roots, the first being prayerlessness. Our church today is filled with prayerlessness. Jesus said, "My Father's house shall be a house of prayer." But we give more announcements than we pray. We sing more songs than we pray. We sure preach longer sermons than we pray. The house of God needs to be a house of prayer. How about your individual life? How is your prayer life? You know the answer to that, and God knows the answer to that. The church today is filled with Christians who've lost that intimacy with God. How about the neglect of God's Word? That's another discipline that we need. I believe that we read more books about this book than we read the books of this book. Are we memorizing Scripture? Are we letting the Scriptures infiltrate our life? Are we letting the Scriptures transform us into being more like Jesus? All the while, this book stays on the shelf when this book should be in our hearts. How about another discipline? How about the Lord's Day? Well, you say, preacher, I'm here this morning. Yeah, that's good. And I appreciate you being here this morning. But did you know today I don't want to tell you this because you might think it's the truth. And it is the truth, but it's not the truth to live by. But did you know what is considered a regular attender today in the church? If you attend 1.6 times a month, you're a regular attender. 1.6 times, you're regular. Yeah, you're regularly missing church. That's what you're doing. You're falling down on that opportunity that God has given you, not only to come in fellowship with one another, but to worship Him corporately and praise His holy name. What's happened to Sunday? Well, we use it as a day instead of pleasing God to make it a day of pleasure. The world is filled with opportunities for us to entertain ourselves on Sunday. We can go boating. We can go visiting friends. We can go golfing or hunting or watch football on television. There's 101 things we can do on Sunday. But yet, one out of six times a month, we're going to be committed to coming to church. Is it not our responsibility as Christians to worship the Lord our God on His holy day? I think it is, and we must reconsider how we're living our Sundays. How about the discipline of giving? Maybe we've lost our spiritual roots in the matter of not giving. Christians today are lacking generosity. You can see that our giving patterns are going downward in a hurry. The more of the Second World War people that we lose, the lesser our offerings are becoming. The more baby boomers we lose, the less our offerings are becoming. Those in the Generation X and those in the Y and those who are just living, all other generations need to learn the spirit of giving, generosity. We have wrong actions that lead to wrong motives, that lead to making money that is not holy unto the Lord. And we would rather, me and Joe, his wife, and my wife, give for the four of us than to give unto the world. We need to correct our patterns of giving. Have we not lost our spiritual roots? I could go on down the list of all of the spiritual disciplines, and yes, we have lost our spiritual roots. Why, I ask? I think we've lost these things because we've lost our love for Jesus. If we're in love with Jesus, don't you think we would give? If we were in love with Jesus, don't you think we'd read the love letter? If we were in love with Jesus, don't you think we would be praying? If we were in love with Jesus, don't you think we would all be gathering to celebrate the Lord on His day right here? We need a revival. He said in verse 10, renew a right spirit within me. Our spirits have been crushed through various sinful actions and through various individuals and experiences in our lives. We need for God to renew a right spirit within me. And in verse 12, we need Him to restore unto us the joy of His salvation. Look at what we need. We need not only a revival, but we need, secondly, a spiritual house cleaning. Look at verses 1 through 4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, love. Blot out my transgressions. Blot out my rebellion. God, blot out those times that I've stepped over the line. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin, missing the mark, is ever before me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Once a person enters into sinful habits and patterns in his life, that is called iniquity. Iniquity is tying something up. It's ringing together. It's pressing together. It's putting two pieces of wood together and wrapping them up. It means that we get twisted up in our lives because of sin. We are a broken people. We need help over our sin, and God is the only one that can give it to us after we confess. In 1949, revival came to the New Hebrides Islands. A minister and a group of laymen were meeting nightly. And they were praying and seeking the Father's face, but nothing was happening. They did not understand why God's Spirit was not moving. But one night, one of the young men began to read Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? And the answer is given back. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, he who has not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord. That young man reading that scripture fell on his knees and fell on his face, and he said, it's humbug if we meet night after night after night, but yet are not right in our hearts with God. And everybody in that room began to confess, and they began to reflect as David did on Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and cleanse me. Let me walk in that way that is everlasting. Is that not what the church needs today? Is that not what we need individually today? Some of us have not put God first in our lives because we've given ourselves towards earthly ambition and personal satisfaction. We go out seeking those fleshly things that can give us joy in life, without doing that one thing that can provide real joy, and that's repentance. Some of us have sinned directly against God by rebelling against His will for our lives. Even incomplete obedience is still disobedience. We must obey the Lord. We must follow Him. I know others who have self-disease. They are self-willed, they're self-pleasuring, they're self-seeking, they're self-confident, they're selfish in their desires and motives and choices. All of the while, they're grieving the Holy Spirit. If you and I really desire revival to come into our church and into our communities, we must be gripped by that of the personal responsibility of our lives that if we are not living in fellowship with Jesus, we need to repent, or else we may be holding back the blessings of God. If it's your desire to have a revival, then you must be pleading Psalm 51. David said, have mercy on me, O God. Blot out my transgressions. Wipe them off. Make my slate clean before you. Maybe our problem today is the day in which we're not willing to have an urgency to get right with God. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus told a story about the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee and the publican went up to the house of God to pray. And the Pharisee probably looked down at the publican, the tax collector, and he says, God, I thank you that I'm not like this guy. I thank you that I give. I thank you that I go. I thank you that I do. I'm thankful that I keep all of the commandments. God, I'm a pretty good guy. Thank you. But the tax collector, the publican, he would not even lift up his eyes as he prayed. He humbled himself before God and he cried out, I need to be clean. In the Blanton paraphrase. Why do we need to have confession? So that we can have intimacy with God. David said in verse 11, don't cast me off from thy presence. Are we living in the presence of God today? Without doubt, we need a revival. And the cure for our lives and our homes and our church is nothing less than turning from that of our selfishness, turning from that of our immorality, turning from that of our unbelief. We need the winds of heaven to blow across our entire area and bring a cleansing and a renewal and a purpose and a meaning to our lives. We need a house cleaning. John said it like this in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to come apart from the world. We need as Christians to live a separated life. Notice that David goes from the bad to the good throughout this psalm. It's always starting off with the bad, but it ends with that which is good. In times of revival, the Christian that has been entertained by the things of this world, give those things up. We are revived not by a forced termination of those things, but we are revived when we willingly yield those things. Anything that is incompatible with the Word is worldly, and we must not make it a part of our lives. We must live separated lives. But second of all, we must also understand that when we crucify the appetite for the world, we develop an appetite for the Word. David in 148 said, at night I meditate upon God's Word. This book is no longer a book on the shelf. It's a book in our souls. This book is a how-to book in life. We must desire this book. Peter talks about it being food to our souls. We need to eat a good breakfast every morning. Thirdly, we need to renew a spirit of prayer in our lives. If you look at David, you can find a man of prayer. The Psalms are filled over and over with his prayers. The revived person loves to pray. The revived person will pray. The voice of a sincere and heartfelt prayer unto God both night and day is for people. It's no longer said, does God answer prayer? It's they bombard heaven because they know God answers that prayer. Revival will bring about a new desire and a new zeal and a new confidence for us to pray in faith to God. But revival will also teach us to go in mission with God. Who's your one? That's a popular theme today. Who have you witnessed to recently? Who have I witnessed to recently? David says, when we're revived in verse 13, I will teach transgressors thy ways so that sinners shall be converted unto you. We find ourselves talking to others about Jesus when we're revived. We don't talk about the weather, about sports. We talk about Jesus. We talk about heaven. We talk about hell. And we know the reality of those things. As you share the gospel, you'll be amazed at how much joy that will bring you, how much purpose that will give you. As you share the gospel, you'll have new life. You'll be invigorated to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit to keep telling that story. And then you have new joy. The joy of the Lord. Again, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. God saves us. We don't save ourselves. In revival, we have life that is joyful because, you see, a life that is filled with Holy Spirit is a life that has the producer of joy within. When joy comes to our lives, our community will be like heaven on earth, because that's what it is, heaven on earth. When Jesus is reigning, how many of us need a newfound joy this morning? I do. And that joy is found in Jesus. I discovered something in the book of Philippians that whenever you see the word joy, it's always matched up in that paragraph with union. You cannot have union with Christ without having joy in life. The other night I discovered something I've never seen before. You go to the passage on the vine, John 15. And he prays and he states that if we continue to graft into the vine and we are the branches, and if the branches rooted in the vine, then something's going to happen. It's going to produce joy. Not only do we have joy, but you go to chapter 16, and there Jesus says the same thing again in a different context, that you will have joy. Chapter 17, the same thing, you shall have joy. But it always is dependent upon our union with Christ. We need to see revival because the results will be us living separated lives from the world, us living in the Word, us living in a spirit of prayer, us living in evangelism. And if we're doing those four things, the end result will be joy in the Lord. Listen, a church that does not have revival will be like a storm cloud in the time of drought that brings no satisfaction to those dying of thirst. A church without revival will be like an empty plate to a man dying of hunger. But a church that has a revived spirit will become like a magnet and just draw people into itself. A church that has a revival will be like an oasis in the desert. It's going to provide the shade and the drink that people need. A revival spirit in the church will be like a strong ocean ship. And I promise you that no wind nor wave can knock that ship over. And I promise you, a revived spirit in the church will be like that of a blazing fire. People are going to come and watch a burn. We need a revival. Why do I preach on this? Because you're having a revival in a month? Maybe. But I preach this message, and messages like it, because I know without a revival there will be no survival for many churches in Columbus, Georgia. We need more than change in the church. We need more than a new mission statement in the church. We need more than simply a team coming from out of town and preaching for 4 or 5 nights, singing some good songs, and seeing a couple of people down the aisle. We need more than that. We need to connect with God's Spirit. And the best time to do that is now. We don't have to wait a month
before revival comes. We can have revival today, right now. People everywhere are realizing that something is missing. And what is missing is the Spirit of Christ in His fullness in you. We have a form of religion, but we deny the power thereof. We need a revival. And we can experience a revival. If we pray verse 10 in Psalm 51, renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. We need to pray that prayer today. And if God restores the joy, He will do it by convicting you of sin. And you can come seeking the Savior for cleansing, and He'll give it to you. Maybe there's someone here today that has never trusted Christ for their Savior. You come, I'll be glad to share with you the way you can do that. But by and large, this invitation is for the Christian. The Christian that knows he or she needs a fresh encounter with the living Lord. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'll take these words, use them for your glory, for your honor. And Lord, your glory would see people repent and turn their faces towards you and to see all that you can do for them and for their church. Father, I preached a hard word today. I pray that people have grace to hear that word. And I pray that repentance may happen and that joy may come. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. As we stand, let's sing "Just As I Am" and see what God wants to do in your life and in your heart. Let's sing together.